Greetings, salutations, welcome to the final episode of the West Texas Catholic, the podcast. No, not forever, just for 2025. The West Texas Catholic, the podcast, brought to you by Cap'n, powered by the Diocese of Amarillo. This is episode 26, and we're going to spend time here in just a couple of minutes with two men who have put on the red suit and the beard and have dressed as Santa Claus, St. Nicholas, Kris Kringle, however you want to call it, the good guy that brings you all the gifts most of the time. We'll talk with these two gentlemen here in just a couple of minutes. Plus, we'll get you up to date with a few pieces of diocesan news. But first, if you would assume an attitude of prayer, let us pray for religious liberty, something we should never, ever take for granted, and always look to strengthen in our world, our church, and in our society. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Almighty God, Father of all nations, for freedom you have set us free in Christ Jesus. We praise and bless you for the gift of religious liberty, the foundation of human rights, justice, and the common good. Grant to our leaders the wisdom to protect and promote our liberties. By your grace, may we have the courage to defend them for ourselves and for all those who live in this blessed land. We ask this through the intercession of Mary Immaculate, our patroness, and in the name of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit with whom you live and reign, one God, forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. My dime's worth of opinions, not necessarily those of Cap'n, the Diocese of Amarillo, or the Diocesan Office of Communications. Continue to pray for favorable weather for our farmers and ranchers. I think we've gotten almost all of the harvest taken care of. That winter, we can certainly use some moisture, and I know we're in the midst of a La Nina winter, but still, please pray for favorable weather for our farmers and ranchers. Keep in prayer those in need of prayer, the poor, the homeless, the unemployed, the sick, the dying, the lonely, the oppressed, the hungry, the thirsty, the discerning, the broken, the uncertain, the confused, the disturbed. Continue to pray for our three great seminarians, Deacon Mauricio Valadez, Richard Escalante, and Benjamin Sego. And find out more about vocations at AmarilloVocations.org. AmarilloVocations.org, your one-stop shop online for anything and everything that has to do with vocations in the Diocese of Amarillo. To our healthcare workers and first responders, thank you for all you do for us. Your efforts do not go unappreciated. Now, let's get on our soapbox. We'll be on this soapbox for the next 11 months or so, like it or not. Get yourself registered to vote in the 2026 elections. Yeah, those registration cards you have, they expire on New Year's Eve, so you should be getting a new one. If you don't get a new one, maybe because you moved or you're new to the state of Texas or whatever the case might be, get yourself registered to vote. That's step A. Step B, get yourself educated on all the candidates, all the issues. And step C, and this happens a few times during the course of the year, get out and vote. When it's time to vote, get out and vote. Don't dilly-dally around. Go to the polls and cast your vote. You do not vote, you do not get a right to complain. And we have a moral obligation as Catholics to vote in every election that takes place. So please get out to the polls and vote. Couple of quick reminders. Make sure you go to AmarilloDiocese.org, WestTexasCatholic.org. Keep up with all the news. The Christmas and Solemnity of Mary Mass schedules are waiting for you right there. Keep up with all that as we go forth this holiday season. Like us on Facebook, please. Amarillo Diocese. We do post up there quite a bit. The next issue of the West Texas Catholic will be the first one of 2026, dated January 18th. Deadlines are Monday, January 5th for advertising, Thursday, January 8th for stories, photos, etc. Make sure you bookmark our podcast, stcapn.com, and please make David Wilson happier than he normally is by answering the survey. stcapn@dioama.org is where you can correspond with us. And our next podcast will drop the day after we start 2026, and we're going to look back at year one of the West Texas Catholic, the podcast. The greatest hits package is put together by David Wilson and our unpaid, unsolicited intern, Ruben Denson, and we'll share that with you here in just a couple of weeks. Our guests on the final episode of the West Texas Catholic, the podcast for 2025, are two men that have put on a red suit this time of the year. No, they're not dressed as elves, and we're grateful for that, but they put on the Santa Claus, Kris Kringle, St. Nicholas suit. To my left, from St. Mary's Cathedral here in Amarillo, noted Pittsburgh Steeler fan and all-around good guy, George Kenny. And to his left, all-around good guy and St. Thomas the Apostle Church parishioner, Mike Broyles. George, you've been doing this 50 years?
Yes, sir.
How did this start for
well,
you?
Well, it started when I moved here to Amarillo, belonged to a Department of Transportation, and a gentleman, older gentleman, transferred here. They went to Santa Claus at Christmas because none of the gentlemen could go home. So they just asked if I played Santa Claus, and they bought me a suit, and then they picked a house, one of the gentlemen's home, and then they'd have Santa Claus come on Christmas Eve. And they'd buy their presents, and then when I get to the house, I had a laundry bag, and they put presents in the bag, and then I'd come around the house, and I had Christmas bells, the old chimes that come from my in-laws, and I'd ring them, and I'd sing my ho-ho, come in the house, and the kids would all get excited, and so an elf would come over to help me sit down and let the kids come and sit on my lap, and it took off from there.
Okay, I have to ask, how did your wife, Marge, God rest her soul in peace, I miss that woman, and I know you do too. What was Marge's first reaction to seeing you dressed as Chris?
She thought I fit the program because I love to do this because we both love children, and children was her aspect, just like mine. She was a Girl Scouter for years. She died being a Girl Scout leader. And, you know, it was just kids. We love kids. So if we could go to somebody's house and play with kids and talk with kids and, like, put on the Santa Claus uniform, which was beautiful, I cannot express what a sensation is to play Santa Claus as well as the gentleman next to me. He knows the same situation. When you have these kids come up and sit on your lap, and they sit there, and they just want to play with your beard. They just want to ask you questions. And if they get on a subject, well, Santa Claus, I want this, and you kind of play around this. You never promise the kids anything because you can't promise them because mom and dad probably cannot do this. So you avoid the question. You play with the kids. And then the other aspect with the kids is time. And when they get off my lap, I hand them a candy cane. And they go play and run around in the meantime. But when a mother comes with a baby, this is the hardest part of being Santa Claus. People come up with a baby, and they want to sit the baby on the lap, and the baby all it wants to do is cry. And you put it on a Santa lap, it cries more. So you try to talk to the persons and say, please, hold the baby for us, slow them down, and just bring them casually towards me, but don't force them to sit on Santa's lap. Because that's the worst thing you can do with a child. Because then they get scared of Santa Claus. They don't want to be around Santa Claus. And I can go on a lot of subjects about Santa Claus. But my main thing was playing with Santa Claus. I played here with the police department. I played with Elks Lodge. I played for Downtown Women's Center for Children. I played all volunteer. Everything was volunteer in my time. Because it was for children, it wasn't for me. Well, it was too, because I loved it, just like any kid. If you play Santa Claus once, you play it forever. But now the biggest story I have, and I like to put this out to everybody here, I played St. Nick. It's St. Mary's Church for the youth program at Christmas Eve Mass. Now, honest to God, as I'm sitting here, chills up my spine. Because that evening, they had all the mass started. Before mass started, they shut the lights down low. The only lights were on the altar. I come as St. Nick in my red Santa Claus outfit. I walk up to the altar. They handed me a box. I knelt at the altar, and Monsignor Smars come over and blessed me. So after Monsignor blessed me, then I went, and I kneeled and said two prayers. Then my father, I stood up, walked over to the manger, set the present in front of Jesus in the manger. So I got up and walked out the side door and just turned around and just waved to everybody and said, Merry Christmas. It was unbelievable. I don't know how to express it more than that, but chills up my spine right now talking about it. It was a beautiful experience I ever had in my life, as much as I played Santa Claus.
Okay, now I have to ask. You know, this gentleman here has got this really nice-looking beard.
Right.
You never grew one for this role, obviously, right?
Gentleman bought me my suit, this plain old cotton suit. Well, then the Knights of Columbus, when they tore down the old gym here, 1450. There's a Santa Claus suite up there. Beautiful. It'd probably been up there in that since probably back in the 50s or better. And it is velvet, heavy. Oh, my gosh, it's heavy. And I asked if I'd have it. And they said, yes, I could have it. So the beard was a cotton beard. So my wife sent away and got a real beard, fake beard, that she kept combing out and washed it. And that's how I got my beard. And I still have the same outfit. I'm still wearing it. I've got a couple engagements coming up. And Santa Claus, I think, will put it to bed. Because I'm at the age now that it's getting harder to get ready. But when it comes Christmas time, I don't know if I'll quit. You can't quit.
No, I don't.
You can't quit.
So you see Mike's beard, and I'm wondering how many kids actually tugged at yours. And did it hurt for them to tug it that bad or what?
All the time. They're always pulling on your beard. Mike knows this. They're always trying to pull on your beard. And so what you do is you grab the hands and you don't, you know, you kind of gently give them to let go, or the parents will help you, you know, so you won't to pull it off. And then when I leave, after I get done with the child, I have a candy cane. Mm-hmm. And as I'm exiting, then I get everybody around and I sing Jingle Bells. I get everybody, the mums and dads, grandparents, whatever, sing Jingle Bells, and I make my exit. And it's just amazing. And I'm sure since Mike got involved, he's just beginning, but he'll be there a long time.
Amen.
You can't quit.
Okay, so 50 years of experience here, Mike. This is your second Christmas you're doing this, right?
This is my second, yes.
Okay. You served in the Army during Desert Storm. Thank you for your service. And you're the retired police chief of Cactus.
Yes, sir.
And that's when the beard started to be grown, I guess,
yes,
right?
Yes, sir. Yeah.
And how mortified was your wife when she started seeing that?
I've never asked her. She's always told me that she, you know, one morning I'm going to wake up and it's going to be gone. She's going to shave it off in the middle of the night.
Too late now.
Yeah, I know.
So you started doing the Santa Claus Kris Kringle thing last Christmas.
St. Nicholas.
St. Nicholas is your non-diplome, and we're going to keep it that way because it's a Catholic program. Come on, folks. Mm-hmm. How did you get started doing this?
It just fell in my lap, actually. You know, me and my wife were at Jorge's, and we were having dinner, and this grandfather had a grandbaby in his arms, and he sat there. He was walking around, and we were sitting there having a conversation, and he comes up, and he goes to his granddaughter, "Oh, look, it's Santa Claus." And I used to get upset with that. So it used to just drive me nuts, you know, because I never felt that I was a jolly person. You know, St. Nick and Santa Claus is a jolly person.
Okay, we're looking at you and we go, you got this happy-go-lucky, you know, you're to yourself, and you weren't a jolly person?
Well, going through the military and law enforcement, the reason I stepped away from law enforcement in 2016 is because of my PTSD. You know, what people don't understand is going through the military, you have a lot of trauma coming at you. And then being a cop, you really see the underbelly of society, what horrible things people can do to people. And so when this guy was calling me Santa, I was at that point in my life where everything was bleak. Another story about being called Santa, my wife's nephews, or our nephews, would be running around. We went to barbecue, and the oldest boy came running up to me. I was sitting talking to my brother-in-law, jumped up on my lap, started playing with my beard, and says, "What's your name?" "You know my name." "No." "What's your name?" I said, "Mike." And he would run off. The other boy would come up, sit, grab my beard, pull on a little bit. "What's your name?" I said, "You know my name." it's Mike. He'd run off. And they did this for like an hour. And the last time, I said, well, who do you think I am? He looked around. He goes, I think you're Santa. I said, shh, don't tell anybody. Yeah. He goes, can I tell you what I want for Christmas? And I said, yeah. He goes, I want a fire truck. So he's telling a former police officer that he wants a fire truck. You know, that's a slap. Yeah. So that Christmas, me and Francis were shopping for the grandkids, and I found these two big fire trucks, and I bought them, and we gave them to the mother. Said put Santa on it, and that was that. It seemed like it was supposed to be. And it was meant to be, because every year, 4th of July, in the square in Canyon, a little kid would come up and ask me if I was Santa. And I just started telling him, shh, I'm on vacation. So, yeah, that was pretty much, you know, what told me, I guess I'm Santa. You know, I guess I'm going to be doing this. And when Carrie Ackers and Adam Ackers asked me if I would do St. Nick for St. Thomas last year, all I could say was yes. And when I put on the suit and walked into that room, I was nervous at first. And then when I walked into that room and all the kids were sitting there looking, and I would start waving at them, The smiles just melted you. So when we got finished with that, I told Carrie and them, if they need me to do it again, I'd do it again. You just pencil me in. I won't say no. Yeah, and after that, it's been just one of the things I did. So me and my wife went to my son's best friend's Christmas party, and I thought it was for adults. Mm-hmm. Because him and his wife been married, they didn't have a child, so I didn't think there was going to be children there. So I wore a Santa hat, and as soon as I walked in, all I hear is all these kids going, it's Santa. And it was like they would come running in and running out, and there was a mom and a little girl, and the girl was probably 6-7 years old. And she looked at me, you know, big, beautiful eyes. And she goes, Santa, I've tried to be a really good girl this year. I've really tried to be a good girl this year. And I told her that, no, you're a good girl. You might have strayed a little bit, but you're a good girl. Yeah. You know? And she turned to her mom and said, see, I told you, Santa said I was a good girl. So I put on the Santa suit, and I passed out gifts. And every single one of those kids grabbed my beard and tugged on it to make sure it was real.
And it is real.
And it is real.
We can vouch for that. You know, a friend of mine years ago interviewed President Trump when he was running the first time and actually pulled his hair. And he said, yep, folks, it's real. Well, yep, folks, that beard is real. What has brought you the most satisfaction in your brief time playing St. Nicholas?
Just seeing the kids. You know, the smile on the little kid's face. The excitement. You know, as we get older, we lose that excitement. Even the older kids during that program, there was some that was like, there's no real such thing as Santa. And then other was, he's got a real beard. You know, and it, you know, he's too nice. And I'm thinking, oh, if they really knew me.
But I got to say this. For that gentleman to think you were Santa when you were going through the bleak time in your life, as you called it, yeah, back in 2018, that had to be one of the biggest shots in the arm for you to help buoy your spirits a lot.
It does. After seeing so much torment in the world, St. Nicholas, Santa Claus, Kris Kringle, whatever you want to call him, the amount of love and peace and giving and caring that he did, you know, it's just amazing. And if you read about St. Nicholas, you know, he was a rich man, and he gave, and it's like, you don't see that nowadays.
No, you don't. But we're supposed to give and give and give. Our guests are two men that have had experience playing St. Nicholas. To my left, George Kenny. To his left is Mike Broyles. Usually this is where we say, guys, you have the last word in the conversation. But since it is Christmas time, the last word in the conversation that I'd like for you is to share what you would tell parents about trying to keep the tradition of St. Nicholas alive in their family. Because, you know, we all know that eventually it fades away. I discovered it when I was 7 when I jailbroke my parents' trunk and found all our Christmas stuff. And that spanking still hurts 55 years later. But anyway, George, you first. What advice would you give to parents to tell them to keep that tradition, that secret?
Well, I think the real thing the children need to know, it's not about so much Christmas. It's about St. Nick and where it all started, how it started. But in the meantime, the children need to know what Christmas is all about, when Jesus Christ was born in the manger. The sad part is the poverty back then as well as now. And as Santa Claus and St. Nick, you know, he was a rich man. He's a bishop. And Santa came to New York. The Dutch brought the system on. And then the story of St. Nicholas having given the poor money, he would put in their shoe. So that's where the stocking came into play in the United States, because that was a tradition of putting goods in the shoe from St. Nicholas. So the parents picked that up, used a stocking, put the goods in for the kids, the candies and the little items that the kids wanted. But the main thing about Christmas is remember what Christmas means, what it's all about. It's not about Christmas and gifts. It's just about Jesus Christ being born, and he is risen, and we need to understand that.
Amen. Mike, same question, and you get the final thoughts in this conversation, sir.
Christmas is all about love. God gave us Jesus on this day, and that is the greatest love anybody can give. Instead of making it all about, you know, presents and holiday vacations or whatnot, going out and just helping one another, you know, saying yes when the diocese asks for something like the ACTS retreats, say yes. You know, OCIA, say yes. Remember that Christmas is about love. Loving one another, loving Christ, loving our faith.
George Kenny, Merry Christmas. The best of 2026 to you, sir. Thank you for coming in. We appreciate it.
Merry Christmas to you also, Chris, and your family. God bless.
Mike Broyles, thank you for coming in. Merry Christmas to you and your family, and the very best in the new year. And we appreciate you coming in as well, sir. Thank you.
Well, thank you. You have a blessed Christmas yourself.
Before we get out of here one final time this year, a look at Diocesan News. I hope you've enjoyed Spiritual Arms, 5 Minutes for the Battle. The final episode of Season 1 will drop on Monday, December 22nd, and then Joshua Correa is going to be like a bear for the next 7 or 8 weeks or so and kind of go into hibernation. Well, not really, but he's going to take a break. The second season of Spiritual Arms, 5 Minutes for the Battle, will begin on Monday, February 16th, the Monday preceding Ash Wednesday. Make sure you kick off your week with that again on Monday, December 22nd, and then rejoin us on Monday, February 16th for Spiritual Arms, 5 Minutes for the Battle with the great Joshua Correa here on stcapn.com. St. Thomas the Apostle Church, continuing to seek people to participate in the parish's perpetual adoration ministry. They've been doing this for 20 years. at St. Thomas, folks. If you are interested in doing this, and I really hope that you'll consider doing so, get in touch with Simon Wright, 806-570-9776. Volunteers still needed at BSA Hospital as communion ministers. It doesn't require a lot of time. Elma Fletcher says training will be provided. Get in touch with Elma, 806-206-4496. Okay, folks, we're taking a break of our own. The Diocesan Pastoral Center closes on Tuesday, December 23rd at 5 o'clock for the Christmas break. We will not be back here, by the grace of God, until Monday, January 5th at 9 o'clock. So please keep that in mind. If you've got diocesan business to take care of, get it done before the 23rd, or you're going to have to wait till we come back on Monday, January 5th here at 4512 Northeast 24th Avenue at 9 o'clock. And I hope you enjoyed the Centennial Kickoff Mass. Wasn't that a great celebration? We've got many more celebrations of our Centennial coming up throughout the course of 2026, but right now we want you to save August 22nd on your new 2026 calendars. Why? Because that's the day we're going to celebrate our Centennial with a Mass of Thanksgiving that morning, 10 o'clock, St. Mary's Cathedral, 1200 South Washington. There's going to be so much more said about this Centennial here in the next couple of months. Look for it in parish bulletins, the awesome website, on stcapn.com, on this program, Catholic Radio, you name it. We're probably going to have it somewhere, maybe even on a corner post somewhere. And a reminder, if you have questions, comments, suggestions on how to make this podcast and Cap'n better, we're all ears. Well, some of us are more all ears, I guess. Let us know. Our email address, stcapn@dioama.org, stcapn@dioama.org. And please put a smile on David Wilson's tired, craggly face by answering the survey at stcapn.com. And that does it for 2025 of the West Texas Catholic, the podcast, brought to you by CAP and empowered by the Diocese of Amarillo. We'll recap 2025 the next time we meet, and then we'll have a brand new, fresh program for you that will drop on Friday, January 16th. Have yourself a very Merry Christmas and a fantastic 2026. And remember, abortion is not and never will be healthcare. Viva Cristo Rey.